Welcome to the Vlog Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:25 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is November 9th. Well, Bitcoin's down today $2,690. So this is extending the breakdown from what's been a very inert period. The issue with one of the most volatile instruments in financial market history is that when it goes through these exceptionally low volatility periods, they're followed by extremely volatile periods. So, when an asset that had a price of 22,000 3 days ago drops to 15,000 and change in the space of 2 days, that's a big move. And it doesn't look like much on the daily chart because it's such a volatile instrument. But I think there are a couple of things that are worth pointing out. The first is that this is a really significant breakdown, and it's now encountering resistance in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, whereas on every other occasion since the genesis of cryptocurrencies, it has found support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So this is a major trend inconsistency, and anyone who is still holding Bitcoin should be getting fair warning at this stage that the potential now is that prices can go down a lot. Even though they've gone down a lot already, they could go down significantly from where they are right now. The other big point is that, so that's a major trend inconsistency. The other big consistency characteristic has been that each of the big ranges was one above the last, and we had never seen an event where the price had dipped back down into the underlying range, but it did that right back here, all the way back in June. Ever so briefly, it dipped below the peak put in right at the end of 2017, and now it's extending that decline. So, people will be looking for the first area of potential support, and I think at this stage that's largely irrelevant. The bigger point here is that Bitcoin does well when there's a clear reason to think about supply inelasticity, which is after one of those halving events, but the next one of those isn't going to be until 2024. Or when central banks print money like their lives depend on it. So the last time that happened was in 2020, and that corresponded with the last big uptick in Bitcoin. Then there's the additional point that when Bitcoin peaked in 2021, it had a market cap in excess of $1 trillion. And that was representative of a huge volume of cash that was printed. But it's the law of large numbers. So when something gets up into the $1 trillion valuation, the quantity of cash that's required to sustain it at that level is almost too large to comprehend. So then, particularly for something like Bitcoin, where there is no cash flow and where all of the value is in the promise of the future, well, then you need lots of money to be made available to continue to support those prices. And right now, with tightening liquidity, with rising interest rates, with money supply growth that is negative globally, then where is the money going to come from to support prices? And therefore, with the catalyst now of FTX blowing up, of Binance walking away from trying to plug the hole, with Coinbase putting out a precautionary statement and saying very clearly they have segregated accounts and that there is no need to panic about Coinbase going out of business. But that doesn't mean that the share price has to stay higher. So at the end of October, Coinbase was trading at 78. Today is at 45. And there is the significant potential that it will fall further. Now let's just pay attention to the other big companies that are susceptible to the law of big numbers. And I'm thinking about the mega cap shares. So the eight companies, which I'm just going to use all their old names: Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Nvidia, and Tesla. They represented in excess of 23% of the market at the beginning of this year. It's now 17.5%. But more important than that is this is the completion of a Type 3 top formation. The relative performance of that group lost momentum at the end of 2020. It very had slightly made a new high in 2021. It was unable to sustain it, and since then there's been a succession of lower rally highs. It's been encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. Now it is breaking lower. So this is important for the last holdout. Apple has been the only one of these major companies which has not yet broken down in a significant manner, and it is looking increasingly likely that it will. The point that I've been making, and I feel like a broken record, but the reality is that Apple is a cyclical company. But then there's the other point that first companies adopted the subscription business model, and that transformed the outlook for Microsoft. So Microsoft's share price just did nothing but rise until the beginning of this year, following the adoption of the subscription business model. Then we've had variations of the subscription business model being adopted in lots of other of these large companies. Netflix was really prospered by adopting by ad adapting to 4G and adopting the subscription business model. And we've had the reversion to the 200-day moving average. Now the price is starting to come back down. This is a candidate for a Type 3 base formation. Now let's think about the companies that tried to copy Netflix, and Disney is one of those. So the share was down in a really dynamic manner in here today, and it's on lower earnings and rising costs attributed to the Disney streaming service. And then, of course, they've ticked off Florida. So that's going to represent a higher cost of doing business where they've got a lot of their theme parks. And this is a really significant event. And something that I think is most particularly true, and I've always hesitated to relay this story, but one of the parents in my kid's class was a senior executive when we lived in Los Angeles at an a company that did the marketing for movies. And he was in a meeting one time where Disney executives on the marketing side, they distilled the message that they wanted for their kids' programming, which is that they wanted children to have sex. And that was all the information you needed to know about the kind of programming that Disney has been producing, because they have been almost singularly responsible for the early sexualization of children. And this has been going on for decades. And I think this is especially important right now, because then we have Tesla. And what we're now seeing with Elon Musk is that he is selling his shareholdings in Tesla, and the share is breaking down through the $200 level. So this is really the completion of a top formation. And in fact, what we are now seeing is that it is a downtrend. We have a clear sequence of lower rally highs and lower lows, and it is below the 1,000-day moving average. There is the real potential that it will unwind all of the bull market up from the lows in 2020. Now, when we then think about the one of the biggest challenges for Tesla is, I think really we're seeing it in Lucid right now. Lucid's bookings are falling. They had 37,000 bookings for their vehicles 6 weeks ago. Now they have 34,000. Well, Tesla took millions of bookings for the Cybertruck, and people only had to put down $100. In fact, you can still make a booking for the Cybertruck, and it'll only cost you $100. But how many people are going to be able to come up with the cash to pay over $70,000 for a truck? That's, I think, a very relevant question. And I suspect that it's not going to be easy. So the projected sales for these companies are probably not going to be nearly as high as they were thinking. And that implies a lower valuation, quite apart from the fact that interest rates are already high. Housing affordability is back to where it was at the peaks of the housing bubble in 2006. So we've had a really profound deterioration in the affordability of homes. And credit card usage is ramping higher. And used car sales are contracting. So Carvana is a company that nobody wants to be seen to own. It's been one of the worst performers on the S&P this year, and it continues to go down. And there's the really significant likelihood that it will go down until the end of the year, and anyone who wants to sell will sell before the end of the year to harvest the tax loss. At that point, perhaps we might see a bounce, but not until the beginning of the new year, or at least into right at the end of this year. But certainly, it's accelerating on the downside. So then let's think about the more risky part of the market. So this is the ARK Innovation ETF, and it's also now at a new reaction low. So this is certainly an indication that some risk is getting taken off the market. Now, the Nasdaq 100, it really failed to rally in a dynamic manner, and then it's now starting to roll over once more. But more important than that, it's encountering resistance in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and it has never done that since 2010. So this is a major trend inconsistency, and I think there is this solid potential here that we're going to see at least a full unwinding of the pre-pandemic pop. So the index could easily come back down to around the 8,000 level. So if we think about the pace of interest rate hikes, the fact that global liquidity is tightening, well, it's not unreasonable to then think that 4% on a 10-year is reasonably attractive. Now, 4% on a 2-year is a lot more attractive, but of course, there is still upward potential for rates to rise further. So that's a more risky bet. The issue here, of course, is that a lot of the liquidity that's been taken out of the markets has been because of rising interest rates. There's been this tendency to think that when bond yields come back down, it's suddenly going to represent a clear migration of capital back into the equity markets. But that may not happen immediately, and it certainly might not happen into the growth sector. Because the only reason that bond yields would come back down is because of deflationary forces and serious issues with the outlook for earnings. Now, the one thing that has happened with Elon Musk is following his acquisition of Twitter, the volume of pornography on the site has multiplied. So he basically fired the content moderation people, and that was one of the walls against that kind of content. So it's looking increasingly likely that his answer to how he's going to recoup the billions he spent on Twitter is with adult content. But that's going to scare away a large number of advertisers. So Meta is likely to benefit from that kind of trend. Now, the share has rebounded over the last couple of days, but liquidity conditions are still tight. So we might see some bobbing around here, but it's trading on a single-digit valuation. And Meta is still engaging in the content moderation business. So that's likely to be beneficial for the share. And they're firing thousands of people, and they may eventually start to walk away from this boondoggle, which is the metaverse. And the continued deterioration of the cryptocurrency market might hasten that decision. Now, against all of these uncertainties, gold prices had popped on the upside for 3 days. They were slightly negative in here today at the upper side of this range. The big catalyst for renewed enthusiasm in the cryptocurrency markets is the dollar. If the dollar sustains a move below 110 and it has pushed back above it again today, then that would be the green light for, I think, investors to move into the precious metal markets in size. So there's still a little bit of reticence in here. I do, however, think that when you have a preponderance of downside key reversals on the dollar, upside key reversals in gold, that what we're seeing here is some softening up. And then we can think about the fact that FX reserves of dollars have fallen by about $1 trillion this year. And one of the easiest ways to control inflation is to support your currency. And the USA has been doing that, or at least the market has been doing that for the USA. But other countries might now also start to think that they should be supporting their currencies to try and moderate some of the inflationary pressures. Then oil prices pulled back rather sharply in here today. And Russia has pulled out of the city of Kherson. And there is the potential, at least some potential, that the course of the war may de-escalate. If that occurs, then oil prices are going to break down from this very tight range between 90 and 100. But then we also have the additional issue that we are looking at a global recession. And the end of the war might bring some relief, but liquidity conditions are still exceptionally tight. And that does suggest that we're going to see some additional downward pressure here. Now, when we think about copper, well, copper is more a story of China. So the price in here today was, excuse me, reasonably unchanged. And part of the reason for that is China has announced both lockdowns in Guangzhou, but then also additional supports for the property sector. So the Shanghai Property Index, which is heavily weighted by state-owned property developers, is steadying from the lower side of a 7-year range. Doesn't mean that it's going to go straight back up and break out above 7,000, but at least it's not breaking downwards. It does suggest that China is going to continue to make efforts to support the economy, and I do think it is more likely than not that the renminbi will devalue as money is spent. But China is also attempting to try and arrest the decline of the currency to keep domestic inflation under wraps, which they have successfully done because China did not spend the same amount of money in terms of supports for the population that the rest of the world did. Now, when we look at emerging markets, we can think about the fact that the Chinese market is a very significant proportion of the emerging markets universe. So we had a rebound last week and a little bit of a pause so far this week. But there is a an emerging markets ex-China ETF. Now, that hasn't been immune from selling pressure, but it hasn't pulled back nearly as much, and it hasn't broken the sequence of lower rally highs yet either. So we're not quite yet out of the woods, and it would be too much to hope for that emerging markets will be completely immune from selling pressure on Wall Street. This really is the Wall Street leash effect, and it will weigh on other sectors. The European stocks is right back in the region of the 200-day and the 1,000-day moving average and testing the sequence of lower rally highs. So this is a potential area of resistance, and it's going to have to at least sustain the move up through that moving average in order to confirm a return to demand dominance beyond the short term. And of course, with the dollar steadying, other currencies have been weaker. The pound is pulling back from the 115 area, and not least because the government is going to be pressured into giving NHS workers bigger pay rises. And that's going to make the job of trying to close the hole in the government finances all the bit harder. The NHS is already far and away the largest source of government spending, and with an aging population, that's only likely to become even more of a burden. And there's no real answer to try and curtail that spending, and not just because it's a political liability, but because tampering with a big bureaucracy like that is a lot more difficult than anyone really who has the courage to try and attempt it, ever seems to understand. And that suggests that it's going to be difficult for the pound to rally from current levels. It also suggests that tax bans are going to rise. And not only that tax will rise, but that the number of people eligible to pay the higher taxes will probably increase as well. So we're certainly in a more difficult environment overall, but there are certainly pockets of valuation improvement. And I do think that the most oversold markets right now are in the bond sector. And fixed income has got some significant yields. And there's the real potential that with all this tightening liquidity, that what we're looking at is the peak for inflation right now. And that fixed income is probably going to be one of the better performing asset classes in 2023. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.